morning, if you will, turn to the first book in the Word of God, Genesis chapter 35. And this is about Jacob. And it's about the house of the Lord. It's about the promises that Jacob made unto the Lord. And it's the same promises that we make when we first got saved and when we first come to the church and we joined the local church. We still have the same thing today. But I want to bring a message today on the forgotten vows of Jacob. Jacob, you know, he had forgotten so many things. And we're just like him. We have forgotten so many things where we promised the Lord the day that we got saved, but yet we kept him promises, but yet down through time, we got to the point that we think we know it all, and we're not keeping the promises like we should have. And we did it one time. But God said unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel. God said unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel, verse 1, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which were by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alon Bacheth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan-Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering down, and he poured oil down. And Jacob called the name of this place where God spake with him, Bethel, Bethel. The forgotten vows of Jacob. We can put ourselves in the same situation. The forgotten vows that we made unto God down through the years. You can go back, and I can go back, and I can remember the day that I got saved. And when I went back to church, when I went there, I promised the church there, because I had to go forward to the front of the church. The church did not save me. My membership did not save me. Baptism did not save me. Taking the communion did not save me. It was only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved my soul. Now, we see where Jacob, right here, he had made so many vows unto God. And we see where some of the vows he did not keep. And he would not keep them. But it's because of his forgetfulness, because of his human mind and his human heart. We forget our vows. We forget them one day at a time. We'll forget them today for tomorrow, because we'll make vows today. But with the devil in it, what the devil looks at, the devil don't look at today. The devil looks on tomorrow, because he's going to let you know what's going to happen tomorrow, what he thinks is going to happen tomorrow. Why did God command Jacob to rise and go up to Bethel, in which he is, to build an altar? You know, we can take our automobiles when we leave church. We're not going to be with somebody else unless our wife or our spouse is with us. But if not, and if you're driving by yourself, you're alone. You're alone in that automobile. Now, being alone in that automobile, we'll have a tendency to allow our mind to wander, and to allow our mind to wonder, what if? What if I had went up? What if I had stood up and give a word of testimony? What if I just spoke out and said, thank you, God, for saving my soul? And thank you for the message. We need to thank God for the message. Not the message that I bring, but the message that comes from God. Because God will take the message that I may deliver it in one way, but God will give it to you in another way. He will take it and he would rearrange it to where you can get more out of it than what I gave you. El Bethel means God. The God of the house of God. Who's here this morning besides me and you? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They three are here with us this morning. And if we'll just allow our ears just to turn it up a little bit to where we can hear that small, still voice. And that small, still voice will speak to your heart. We're not looking for somebody to come down and just open up the windows there and just and holler it out. No, we need to hear that small, still voice to where it can get to our heart, where we can take it and meditate on it, where we can take it and chew it and chew on it a little while, and where we can be nourished by that. We're being nourished by the Holy Spirit when he teaches us and he allows us to learn something new in the Word of God. We can always learn something new. We can always, always have a journey and be focused on the journey that God wants us on. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make thee an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Let us arise and go up to Bethel. I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress. Who was it that come and spoke to your heart when you were so bottomed out and you could not even think you could do anymore? You couldn't help your family. You thought, well, my family, I can't help them no more. Because I'm in such a way myself, and I take all my money, everything that I earn, and I go down here, and I'll spend it on other things. I'll spend it on buying lottery tickets. I'll spend it on liquor, and I'll spend it on alcohol, and I'll spend it on the fast life. But I can't provide anything for my family. We are in distress. We come to the place that where we don't know nothing anymore. And that's where we got to get to. That's where the people, that's where the individuals on the outside that's not safe, that's where they got to get to. They got to get to that point in their life that they are so worn out. And they're so distressed and so burdened down that they don't know which way to go anymore, because they know if they go anywhere at all that they're going to fail. And I got some news for them, and I got some news for you. Anytime that we go to the Lord, we will not fail. Why? Because he won't fail us. Because he's going to give us the truth. And he's going to do it with love. I will make thou an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. In other words, what God is saying right here, God is saying right here to Jacob and saying to Israel right here, he's telling them, he says, just come to me. Just don't worry about the problems that you have. Don't worry about the distress that you're under. Don't worry about this and that where you can't do anything about it. Don't worry about that. I didn't ask you to worry about that. Only thing I asked you to do is come to me. Come to me. And as we go to God, then God will answer our prayers. God will give us a peace that where that burden that we do have, it won't burden us down no more. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. They did not pursue it. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply a nation and a company. Of the nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with Isaac about. What he was telling Isaac, he's telling Isaac, says, Isaac, come on back. Come on back. The altar has depleted. The altar has in ruins. It has fell down. It's not in place no more to where somebody can take that altar and offer up a sacrifice. Come back. Come back and build the altar back. Build the altar back to where when you build it back and you build it back in the right portion that the Lord wants it in, then and only then is when you will be blessed by God. Because God sees there the where with that altar being rebuilt by Jacob that he knew as far as that altar. That altar was going to be a place of sacrifice. It's going to be a place where others would come in and sacrifice something for the Lord. Because you know in Exodus, the next book over, in about the 25th chapter, I believe it is speaking about the tabernacle. Well, we know the tabernacle need to have an altar. The tabernacle need to have an altar on the inner court to where they could come and they could bring the lamb once a year. That's the only time that they could come and bring. That sacrifice was once a year. They could not do it every weekend. They could not do it every day. But I'm going to thank the Lord God Almighty that I don't have to wait a year to go back to Him and ask Him to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me once again and speak to me and allow me to do the things He wants me. I am so glad that I don't have to wait once a year. But back then they did. They went and they waited once a year for the sacrifice. Could you wait a year before you took your sacrifice or your sins to the Lord? Could you wait once a year? No, because I tell you what, if I waited once a year, time I got to that point in my life that tomorrow I'm going to be able to go. And I'm going to be able to go and sacrifice lamb right here. I'm going to go in and sacrifice him to the Lord. One would not be enough. One would not be enough. I would have to have a whole herd. I would have to have a whole herd to go before me and where I could present them there at the altar, where they place them over in the fire, and when they burn them. You know, but you take a whole herd of individuals and a whole herd of lambs or sheep or whatever. You take a herd, say 35. All 35 of them, they've got to be spotless. They've got to be perfect. Why? Because the individual is sacrificing them to the Lord. And you know the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect in all ways. He was perfect in life. He was perfect in giving of His blood. He was perfect in every way. But we're not perfect. We're striving to be perfect. What's the word perfect mean? What does it mean? It means mature. Are we mature enough for the Lord? Are we mature enough in Him to go out and speak to somebody else and invite them to church? Or can we go to them and speak to them and invite them to church, and they can sense something in our voice as they hear us inviting them to church, that they will say, they can say inwardly to themselves, they say, I believe she is really concerned about me. I believe he is really concerned. I believe he's really trying to help me. I believe she is really trying to help me. And that's what we're there for. We're there as a place where we can heal the brokenhearted. And you think about it, really. How many times in a week or any time that we're down here at the services, how many times do we hear of the life-saving crew going by or a fire truck going by, going to somebody's house where they're sick? Maybe they've had a heart attack. We hear it more and more. It's getting more and more frequently all the time. This place on the side of the road right here on 58 should be a place where people can come in and get some emergency help. Get some help where they haven't had. Because they was looking for the wrong things. Jacob, he was looking for the wrong things too. That's the reason he forgot his vows. He forgot everything that he told God. And God brought them back to his memories. Every last one of them, he brought them back to him. And Jacob had made a vow 30 years before. He had made a vow 30 years before this chapter. 30 years before. And he had been walking away from God the whole time. When you make a vow unto God and you break that vow, you're just walking away from God. You're walking away from his work. We don't need to walk away from his work. We need to walk towards his work. Jacob, you know, he lived in Canaan. He lived there for 10 years. Lived there for 10 years. We are all prone to forget our vows. It's easy for us to forget our vows if we're not praying or we're not studying God's word. It's easy for us to keep them vows. It's not easy for us. But it's easy for us to just to forget about them. Forget about them, and what we're saying when we forget about them, we're saying to God, God, I know the vows that I said and I told you about, and I was keeping them. But now, here it is 10, 15 years later. Jacob, 30 years later, he's saying, 30 years later, and you just went farther and farther and farther away from me. And that's what we have a tendency to do. Is to walk away from God. To walk away from him. We need to go back to the beginning of our life. I'm not talking about the first birth. I'm talking about the second birth. Or the day that we got saved. We need to go back and ask God. Say, God, it's been so long since I've been saved. So many things that I forgot about. So many things I can't remember anymore. But would you allow me to remember all the vows that I made to you? All the promises that I made to you. Would you make it plain to me where I can see them once more? Because God, I don't want to walk another day without you. Because Jacob said that he walked away 30 years earlier. Because he thought, says, I can do it. I can do it on my own, Lord. You don't need to worry about me anymore. Don't worry about me. You go and you concentrate on somebody else. And you worry about them. Until they get saved, until they make a vow to you, then you can go somewhere else. But see, the thing about it is, the Lord never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never comes to me and says, well, Donnie, I tell you what, all the promises that you made me, you did not keep. But you show me in the Word where I did not keep my promises. He kept every one of his promises. He kept every last one of them. And I thank the Lord for that. I really do. People today, they really don't realize what they have really lost. They have lost their first love. That's the only time that they've ever felt like somebody loved them. Jacob remembered that day. God brought it back to his heart. He brought it back to the forefront of his mind to where he could not even get past that. He had to confess his sin. And that's all it was a sin. It wasn't a sin because he rejected the Holy Spirit. No, he accepted God. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. He accepted him, and he knew that he was saved because earlier there was a time when he would do anything possible that he could for the Lord. Is there anything that we can do? Is there anything that we can do to bring happiness back to the Lord? Because you know, it speaks of tears in the Bible. And just think about all the tears that the Lord Jesus Christ sheds for each one of us every day. Every day, because we won't do what he's asked us to do that day. And he don't ask us to do something to where we can't do it. You may say, well, preacher, I never have been able to go up to a stranger or go visit a stranger, somewhere like that, and just talk to them. And talk to them about the Lord. And talk to them about salvation. I've never been able to do that. You know, I think that's one thing that we as individuals, we need to clear our conscience from, because we don't go and we don't speak ourselves. We go and the Lord speaks through us. And as he speaks through us, he's going to make sure that the individual is going to hear it. Now, whether the individual accepts it or not, that's up to the individual. Because God's not going to pressure nobody. God's not going to demand nobody to just come to him and walk with him. He's not going to drag them to him. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no salvation in the devil. There's no salvation within us that we can give to people. The only thing that we have is the Word of God that we can give to people. And as we give the Word of God out to people, then the Lord will take the very words that we gave out and he will speak it, he will teach it, and he will bring them unto the knowledge of it. See, go, hey, let me ask you something. Can we speak without the Lord's help? Can we? I need the Lord to speak through me. I need for him to touch my lips. I need for him to touch my tongue. I need for him to touch my heart. I need for him to touch my mind. That I can speak. And a whole lot of times that what we speak about is a bunch of jibber jabber. That's about all it amounts to. No. The Lord only does it speaking through us. But yet, we'll say some stuff that God is nowhere around. God's nowhere around. Acts chapter 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15 in closing. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jacob's vow. How many vows have we made unto God? And how many vows have we made unto his son Jesus Christ as we've been saved? How many vows have we made unto the Holy Spirit that we will take what the Holy Spirit has taught us and we will learn from that? How many times have we just forgot about what we just spoke to God for? You know, some people, they come to church, they'll listen to the message. They'll listen to the Sunday school teacher. They'll listen to the Word of God. But yet, they can turn around. And as soon as they get out the door, they cannot tell you what the message was about. They cannot tell you what they was taught in Sunday school. Yes, there are people like that. They can't remember nothing. Why? Because they don't want to remember it. But if anybody wants to walk close to the Lord, if anybody just want to be there with the Lord, you can walk as close as you want to him. You can walk so close to him to where if he's walking and he's wrapped in his garment there, we can walk so close to God that we can feel his garment wrapping around us also. We can be that close. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message. Father, we thank you for Jacob. We thank you, Father, for he did return back unto the Father. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. We thank you for the Son that went to Calvary and died and shed his blood for us. And I thank you, Father, for allowing all of this to take place and to happen in our lives. Father, I want to live closer to you today. And today hereafter. Closer than I've ever had before. But Father, you're going to have to help me with that. And I'm asking you to help me to live closer to you, that I can feel your breath on my neck. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for opening this door here at Faith Baptist Church. Lord, I know that they could have probably got somebody else that was a better preacher, a better pastor. But Father, I thank you, Lord, that you spoke to my heart and you spoke to these people's heart. Lord, we love you and we thank you until we come back again. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.